Good morning. Wonder if I could have a couple of people help me pass these out to the folks here. Thank you, Pastor. This is a kind of an information card that I put together that describes kind of the two facets of our ministry. One of them being the Spirit-Filled Life, which is a seminar that I wrote after teaching village pastors in India for several years, since 2008, the Spirit-Filled Life. We began ministering to Assemblies of God pastors in India, and the Lord saw to it that we went further north in that state to a very tribal, superstitious area, and we began ministering to non-Pentecostal pastors, predominantly many of them Baptists, Methodists, Lutheran, as some Catholic, and they were embracing the teaching on the Holy Spirit. Many of them began to be filled with the Holy Spirit for the very first time. So the Lord has used this to touch the hearts of the pastors in India. And you will find that the Lord's design to reach the world has always been through the church. The church not just being a local congregation, but the worldwide church. And the church includes members, and we are all members of the church. And when Jesus was ready to ascend to heaven, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go." And so all of us have been given that charge by the Lord to go. But then he told his disciples before they went out, he said, "But I want you to wait until you are endued with power." And I think this is what God is reviving in the worldwide church. I will be going to India in September. We'll be going to two new states there. We had been in one state for years, and then the Lord opened the door for us to go to many other districts for the Assemblies of God in India. And so now I've been in two states and did their district conventions, and the Lord has poured out his presence powerfully to the point that these pastors stood in line for well over an hour for a prayer of anointing. And none of them got out of line, Pastor, to go to lunch. Many of them, you know, and one superintendent said to me, he said, "I'm surprised none of them left." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, lunch was going on at the same time that they were waiting to be prayed for." But it just showed that they're hungry, and they're not all of them are ignorant. In fact, many of the village pastors have a poor education. But when you get to these Assemblies of God districts, many of them are going to seminary, and they have a seminary education in the Holy Spirit. But there is a difference between having a doctrine and having an experience. And we must have correct belief, and we must have the foundation for proper belief. But folks, God intends for us to experience his Holy Spirit. So that which we have learned will become a reality in our lives. You will experience the Holy Spirit. And many of these pastors, I will challenge and say, and because many of them are Baptists, and I'll say, "How is it that you're concerned about the Holy Spirit manifesting himself in your body? Everyone, you know, every Christian has the Holy Spirit. So why are you concerned that the Holy Spirit will manifest himself in and through your body?" And a lot of Christians get nervous about that, and I think part of it is that they're not taught. They're not taught the truth about the Holy Spirit because he has become a controversial subject in the worldwide church. And so God is using this, that Spirit of Fire conference, he's using that to help remind the pastors that the Holy Spirit wants to empower them, just as the Holy Spirit wants to empower us. And it's not difficult, it's not impossible, because he is our gift from God. Everybody say gift. When someone gives you a gift, how many of your kids, if you give them something that is wonderfully exciting for them and they actually see it as a good thing and you hand them a gift, how many of your kids stand there and look at it like, I don't know if I want that? You know, that's not our kids. Our kids will take it and all excited, they'll tear open the package and look at it, and oh, they'll get all excited because they received just what they wanted. Well, the Holy Spirit, you have no idea how wonderful He is. He is your gift from the Father to walk with you daily, to encourage you, to comfort you, to empower you, to be in your corner. He is your friend. He is on your side. He is not against you. And so why would people not want to walk with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis? And I think part of that is, folks, is because they don't think about it. They haven't been taught about it. And of course, I don't know your individual church. From what I can tell from Pastor, I think he's a very godly, Spirit-filled man who wants you to walk in the things of the Spirit. And so I'm certain he's talked about it. But my experience is that the Holy Spirit has been minimized in a lot of churches, even Assemblies of God churches, which are Pentecostal in nature. And I think it's because people get nervous about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. They're worried that they're going to look foolish or that someone in the church is going to do something crazy and then they might have to explain it to their friends and say, well, I mean, that's a nut, you know. And the truth of the matter is, when God starts moving in your life, you're going to feel it. Something's going to happen that you can only explain by saying, I don't know what happened, and I've heard this many times, Pastor. I just cried through the whole service, they say to me. What is that all about? I say, that's the Holy Spirit. They said, I put my hand up to worship God, and it started shaking. I said, that's the Holy Spirit. They said, I was praying, and all of a sudden my jaw started to quiver. I said, that's the Holy Spirit. I feel this funny thing inside, and it's like I've got butterflies. That's the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit, because He is invisible, we can't see Him, but He is real. The Bible tells us He is real. In fact, He is the one through whom we are born again. Jesus said, everyone who is born of the Spirit has the power to become a child of God. So we are born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work to make us a new creature. And so the Holy Spirit is there, and He wants us to know He's there. If you can't see Him, if you can't touch Him, He's got to manifest Himself so you know He's there. So you'll feel it. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is really how it's supposed to go. In fact, at the end of the book of Mark, it says that the apostles went out preaching everywhere, and the Holy Spirit worked with them, performing signs and wonders. And that's all the Lord is waiting for, is for us to say, I believe you, Lord. I'm going to walk with you. And so here I go to minister in your name, and the Holy Spirit will back you up, and He'll work on your behalf. And He's in your corner. So anyway, I thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to come here and tell your people about this. My passion is for pastors. That's who we train predominantly. But I also am thankful for every opportunity to come to a church, because the Lord has told me I'm an ambassador to His church. And so every time I come to a church, I believe the Lord gives me a specific message for that church. And I've got about 15 minutes here that I want to draw your attention to the book of Genesis. And you're not going to be surprised. I was actually surprised by the message that God gave me here, because normally the Lord doesn't give me a message that just falls in line with the holiday that we're celebrating, but I was surprised that today, Pastor, the Lord gave me a message regarding fathers. So I want you to look at Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 through 19. It said, I'll be reading from the King James Version. It says, "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him." Some of your translations say, "For I have chosen him." And I'm going to suggest that God is looking for faithful fathers. Let me finish this. "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Can we pray just a moment? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this opportunity to be with my brothers and sisters at Mitchell Assembly of God. I pray for Pastor and his family. I pray that you would empower him in a new and fresh way, that he senses his ministry is growing in spiritual power. Give him authority, Lord, to do what you have called him to do, and back up every decision he makes. And may the people see your hand upon him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Abraham is a great example of a father, of a faithful father. And I suggest to you that this example is teaching us that God is seeking faithful fathers. And here's why. I'm going to give you three things, three reasons why I'm convinced, and it's found in this passage, three reasons why God is seeking faithful fathers. Fathers. And when I say faithful, what comes into your mind? A lot of times when people talk about a faithful spouse, it means that you're devoted to your spouse and you stay committed to them through your entire married life, and you don't cheat on them, you don't allow yourself to look elsewhere. You are a faithful, devoted husband. Well, that is a faithful husband. If you are a faithful father, then what does that mean? It means that you're devoted to your kids, you're devoted to your family, you're going to provide for them, you're going to do whatever is right to take care of them. And I know that people in this room are faithful people in that sense. But there's another part of being a faithful father that I think is worthy of talking about right now, and that is you're devoted to God. See, faith, the Bible says, is a substance of things that we hope for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And this faith that we're talking about is faith in God. Okay? And so Abraham had faith in God. And he proved his faith in God when the Lord told him to take his son Isaac, his only son. We won't go the different path where he and Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. That's a different line altogether. God said it's through Isaac that your descendants shall be reckoned. And so this one and only son that he and Sarah had through a miraculous birth and happened late in their years, who was a fulfillment of God's promise, the Lord tested Abraham and said, "I want you to take Isaac and I want you to take him up on this mountain. I want you to offer him there as a sacrifice." That was a big test. He was testing Abraham to see whether he would be more devoted to him than he was to his family. Now, in America, we have a very strong ethic on family and making sure that our children are well cared for and are part of a lot of activities, and that is admirable. But folks, even above that should be our devotion to leading them in the ways of God. And so the three ways that I believe, or the three reasons I believe God wants, is looking for faith. Maybe I should put it this way. Three reasons why God is looking for faith filled fathers is this. First of all, they're willing to walk with God. I pastored for well over 30 years, and sadly, I saw many a time when a wife and mother would come to church by herself. Because, and it's not that dad had to work, it's that, you know, he was okay with church, he was okay with the things of God, but it wasn't all that important to him. Maybe he had to cut wood that weekend, maybe he wanted to go golfing that weekend, which there's no problem with taking vacations. We're not talking about that. We're talking about our priorities. And if mom is the spiritual leader in the home, that's not the way the Lord wants it. The Lord wants fathers to first of all be devoted to Him and to walk with Him. That's why God chose Abraham to be kind of the father of faith. It's because first and foremost, Abraham was willing to walk with God. Walking with God means that I have a personal relationship with Him, that I surrender to Him as we were singing this morning, that I'm going to follow Him no matter what, that I will do what He wants me to do, that I want to please Him. And folks, one of the things that we forget is that the Bible says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God is a reward. He wants to pour out His blessings on us, and we have all experienced His blessings, but I believe there are even more blessings for us that God wants to pour on us, but we may block that simply because we, in our minds, have enough of God. Well, you know, I got enough of religion. I go to church once in a while. I think I'm a decent guy, and dads, these are all positive things to be decent, to be wholesome, to be a good community member, and devoted to your wife, but that's not what God is seeking. God is seeking a man, dare I say, after His own heart, kind of like David. David had a lot of flaws. So God's not looking for faultless men. God is looking for devoted men, devoted to Him. And David, even for all his faults, was considered a man after God's own heart, because even when he sinned and God confronted him with it, David repented. He said, "I've sinned against you, Lord. Please forgive me." Guys, sometimes we feel that the pressure on us to be this perfect Christian guy is too much. Then I want you to realize that perhaps you don't understand what God is looking for. He's not looking for you to be without sin, because then, frankly, the scripture would be a lie. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that Jesus forgives us of our sin. But then the Apostle James says that we all stumble in many ways. And then the Apostle John says, if anyone says he's without sin, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. So folks, God knows that you're going to stumble from time to time. He knows that you won't always be perfect. That's why Jesus died for us. But are you willing to walk with Him? Are you willing to develop that relationship with Him? The first thing that God saw in Abraham, and one of the reasons why I believe He chose him, is because Abraham was willing to walk with Him. Secondly, the second reason that I believe God is looking for faith-filled fathers is because they will lead their family. The Bible says here that God chose Abraham because He knew that Abraham would command his children and his household to keep the ways of God. And you say, well, you don't know my family, Brad. I can't command them to do anything. And I want you to understand something. Command is a King James word. It basically means that you're going to direct your family to keep the ways of the Lord. I remember the years that we had to select new deacons, And every time that we would get ready to select new deacons, of course, there was the list of qualifications in the book of Timothy that we had to look after. And one of them said, you know, about keeping their children in check with, you know, with all humility, and that their kids weren't open to wild and rebelliousness. And I said, and a lot of times our great godly men in the church had kids wouldn't listen to them and were wild. Of course, oftentimes they were the older ones, the older kids. And so we had to deal with this, and I found out that it's talking about when our kids are younger and when we have, you know, more parental control over them, that we're able to keep them focused on the ways of God, and sometimes later on in their lives, they choose sinful ways. And once again, I want you to understand that God is not expecting you to be without fault. But He believes that the guys that He chooses to influence this world as dads, they need to teach their families. They need to lead their families. One of the greatest legacies you can leave your family is a godly example. Everybody say example. Example is different than preaching at them from time to time, isn't it? You can preach at them and say, well, I don't want you to do this because I did that all my life and look what it did to me. And there's nothing wrong with teaching your kids to learn from your mistakes. But if all you are is talk and no action, that's not really what's best for your family. You need to lead your kids to church. You need to lead your family in the ways of God. You say, well, how do I do that, Brad? Well, there are many different ways you can do it. Simply by your own lifestyle. By your own lifestyle, you need to live righteously and do good and do your best to walk with God in a peaceful way. But that, one of the greatest influences in my life was my dad. And you know, the one thing I remember about my dad, and he died when he was 77, and I was close to him all through my life. So 77 years, but the one picture I always remember about him is I came down from the upstairs, my bedroom, and I happened to walk into the living room one morning, and there was my dad kneeling at the couch praying. I've never forgotten that picture. That burned a picture into my mind of my dad, and that told me something about my dad that made an impression on me. And dads, we're not perfect. And I don't believe God is looking for faultless dads. But He is looking for dads who will be faithful to lead their families in the ways of God. You don't have to be flawless, but God wants you to be devoted to that. He wants you to lead your family, not just tell them. Don't leave Sunday school and church leadership to your wife to take the kids to Sunday school and church. You go with them. You lead them. You let your boys know that God is important to you and that He is your Lord and Savior. So the second reason that God chose Abraham and is looking for faith-filled fathers is because they will lead their families in the ways of God. And of course, finally, I believe the reason, and this seems similar to the second one, but I think there's a subtle difference. The Lord is looking for faith-filled followers, a lot like Abraham, because they will be a godly father to their children. It's one thing to lead your family. It's another thing to be a godly influence in your individual children's lives. We had six. Every town we went to, the Catholic priest would say, Brad, you got a great Catholic family. And the reason we had six is because we had five boys and then our girl. That's why we had six. But so boys, And I remember the days that my boys, of course, I'm the pastor, and they'd say, "Dad, I don't want to go to church today. Church is boring." And I said, "You know, that's kind of a slap in the face because their dad is the pastor." And I said, "Well, you know, I mean, I get that and I understand it, but, you know, I want you to be there not just because you're the pastor's kid, because I think it's important for you to be in church." But we would play these games with the kids. I'd come in and I'd say, "Okay, name a topic in the Bible." And so we'd play this game where they would try and outwit me, and they'd name a topic in the Bible, they'd name a chapter in the Bible, they'd name a verse, and then I'd have to take that and try and teach them something out of it. So there are creative ways that you can teach your children the ways of God. Teach them how to pray. When they're young, I think it's a lot easier to spend time with them in prayer before they go to sleep, and you sit down and you pray with them. You teach them about faith. Teach them about how God answers prayer. You teach them individually because you are their father. And do you know how we influence society the greatest? The greatest capacity we have to influence society is to raise up our children in a godly manner, because it's our children and our families that are going to change the fabric of society. We can preach to the community, we can have great results at an altar, but I'm going to tell you what causes a society to change, and that is when the families are grounded in the Lord. And they are only grounded in the Lord, Dad, when you and Mom lead them, and when you and Mom show your individual children how important the Lord is in your life. And by the way, the scripture says that your kids are like arrows in a quiver, and that each one of them is different. You need to point them in the direction they should go. And not all of your children are the same. And so not every direction is the same for every one of your kids. They are individuals. God has entrusted them into your hands, and He wants you to love them in Him, if I may use that term. You love God and love your children. Teach them how to be God followers. Teach, and of course, they're going to have questions for you. They're going to say, "This bad thing happened to one of my friends at school. How could God allow that to happen?" It will give you opportunities to teach them about this world and about God's involvement in this world, about sin in the world, and how God can help people overcome sin, how He can forgive sin, and how He can save people from the horrors of sin, death, and hell. So, Dad, God is looking for faith-filled fathers. He's looking for men who will walk with Him. He's looking for men who will lead their families in His ways. And He's looking for men who will be godly fathers. Because once, you see, God said, an interesting thing that God said at the end of that statement was, He said, "Because Abraham will do these things, that will allow me to bring upon him everything I have promised him." And this is some, I'm going to close with this because this is a very powerful truth. There are promises in our lives, that promises from God, that are founded on faithfulness to God. If we turn away from God, if we won't have anything to do with Him, if we neglect Him and don't want to follow Him and don't want to lead our families, those, in a way, we've broken our covenant with God. And so those promises that were made to us may have to wait until you come back to Him. Don't think that you can live like the world and God is going to pour out His blessings on you the way that you were told as a child growing up in church. It doesn't work that way. You see, you've got to be devoted to Him and walk with Him every day of your life. And if you have fallen into sin, to repent of that sin. Because the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Amen? Would you bow your heads and let's have a word of prayer. Father, I ask you to bless the families in Mitchell Assembly of God Church. I ask you, Lord, to encourage fathers. Sometimes it's a daunting challenge to be a godly leader in our home. Maybe we didn't grow up in a family where that was modeled for us. We need help. So I pray for the dads in this room, Lord, that they would be encouraged, that you are right there beside them to help them lead their families and teach their children about you. Comfort them, strengthen them, and help them in their walk with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for this opportunity.